Hello, you're listening to Spoiler
Filled
Film.
conversation.
Hooray!
Hooray!
I joined in.
Thank you.
So, it's me, Richard Nicholas, hello, and Abigail Bain
Hello.
doing this week's spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray! Just the two of us. It was kind of a joint pick as well. We decided to pick the film Shotgun from 1989. Mainly because of the blurb, which I'll get to in a sec. But Abby, you should give some of the details from the IMDb so that people know not to get it mixed up with other films called Shotgun.
This is Shotgun, 1989. It's directed and written by Addison Randall. It stars Stuart, I'm going to go with Chapin, Riff Hutton, and a bunch of other people.
Is that enough for them?
Yes.
So hardly any credit, where hardly any credit is due.
It's because I can't remember the name of the bad guys to be able to pick them out from these people.
Oh, that it feels wrong. Maybe they don't want people to know who did them. They should feel a smidge of shame for making Shotgun. So as I said, it was kind of a joint pick because we were in a low-priced DVD place, rummaging on shelves that are much akin to a film bin. Full of discount DVDs, and we saw this film. We can't ignore orange and yellow title when it says shotgun, and then even on the spine it says playing by the rules can get you killed. But the reason we plucked it off the shelf and went, we have to have this, is this very blurb I'm reading off the back of the DVD. Detective Jones was told to play by the rules. Playing by the rules can get you killed. Shotgun dispenses 12-gauge justice with a double-barreled vengeance. It's the fast-paced ride through the sleazy, hardcore streets of LA as Max Billings and Ian Jones wade through sex, violence, guns, and drugs to avenge a hooker's murder and bring down a kingpin of crime. Wow.
How
Right?
can you turn that down?
How could you tell? How could you turn down? Double-barrel vengeance and 12-gauge justice. You can't. So it's a cracking action movie blurb, and then it's got the lovely explosion close up of a shotgun, and a man in shadows and a sort of sexy woman. No offense on the cover. I mean, it ticks all the cliched boxes. So we checked it out. Thoughts, Abby. What were you expecting? And then what was your reaction once we saw it?
I was expecting something trashy
Tick.
and absurd.
Yeah, it was absurd. I was thinking, action packed and kind of not. It is sort of sleazy, but I was expecting it to be a different kind of like a exploitation-y or something. I don't know. It was a little less. I mean, it exploited people, but not in a fun way.
Yeah, not in the way that you expect.
No, it's more it exploited people who didn't have much talent, but let them be in a film, so that's nice. Where do we begin, really? It's a bit of a mess in terms of plot because quite an exciting opener, right? We have sort of slightly exotic looking location, some kind of foreign beach town, and there's like a some kind of deal going down. All good action movies start with some kind of dubious suitcase based deal, doesn't it? With armed
They do,
thugs.
and usually a pair of sunglasses.
So we had that, and of course it can't go straight forward. That wouldn't be dramatic. So all hell breaks loose. Lots of, I think it might be shotguns early on in the film, but shots are fired, henchmen, thugs, they're all killed, and some cheesy looking businessman gets away in a helicopter. And we had quite a good stunt work in this film at times. The helicopter flies off, and a few guys are dangling from it, and people are being shot, and there's a good fallout of the helicopter, and then it takes the one guy who's dangling off it away and discreetly lands behind some trees so he can get out, presumably. But it was impactful, if a little low budget, but you kind of expected that from, that blurb and the cover we looked at.
The thing about it is, I think, is that I quite liked the unusual choice of what looked like a vegan geography teacher as our male lead.
You mean later on we get revealed to our kind of leads, do we? Jones.
Mm.
And it's a kind of a buddy cop movie, isn't it? Because it has buddy cops in it. They're really buddy-like as well. Of all the buddy cop movies, these guys are buddies from the start. They don't like learn to love each other and have grating personalities, but eventually bond. This is we're buddies, and there's almost a kind of will-they-won't-they tension. Like, my goodness, will they actually like lean in and give each other a little kiss?
And even if they won't, it seems like one of their wives likes the other one better.
Yeah, Ian Jones. And Max Billings? Like, Max Billings has the superior name, doesn't he? Because Ian Jones is just, I don't know, just sounds like a Welsh bloke who maybe owns a pub.
I don't think any action character has ever been called Ian.
Yeah, it's not so much, Jones is fine, isn't it? But Ian is just, there's nothing dramatic about it. But like you say, he's kind of, you said geography teacher
vegan geography teacher.
Yes. I would go for more knock-off BG. He's like a slightly, you know, maybe a BG cover band guy at the weekends when he's not, you know, running a pub or whatever. But he's just, it's like long-haired ginger man who occasionally makes a bad hat decision but always has a wardrobe change of some description throughout the film. He's always getting different clothes on, jackets, and he has this horrible mustard turtleneck because, you know, that's a piece of fashion that should exist. And, he's got quite the look. And he replaces charisma with terrible acting, I would say.
I wouldn't go as far as to say terrible, but I think it has something more to do with, because nobody knew what was going on, they couldn't act for it.
You just go for cliched action movie lines being said in cliched action movie ways and just kind of come out with stuff. Oh, they did a poor job, Abby.
One thing I will give credit to is some of the stunt work. That was pretty good.
Well, that's what I was saying, is it opens with some reasonable stunt work. So, you know, the dudes who like doing the jumping and the falling and things, right on, they did that correct. But yeah, the other buddy of the buddy cop duo is Max Billings, and he's your classic black cop of that certain like 80s, 90s time period, where he's got like moustache and he's kind of, oh no, he hasn't got a chip on his shoulder or anything. He's just sort of happy, and they're really good buddies, aren't they? There's times where you kind of think it's a shame they're cops because they'd just be good friends without troubles otherwise.
Yeah, it's a shame you're in an action movie because that means this could go as far as one of you's dead.
They avoided the cliche of the black guy gets killed and the guy goes on a killing spree. He does go on a killing spree. It is fueled by vengeance. But it's for the death of his
sister.
Yes, his sister, who is a
lady of the night.
A lady of the night. Yes, thank you. But yeah, so his cop buddy, our main guy's cop buddy, does get shot, but he doesn't die. Black cops usually die to set up a sort of reason for the white cop to be all angry and vengeful. But they didn't dodge that bullet. But it didn't. It wasn't a fatal wound, so that's something.
They looked at that bullet and went, "Well, if I really must, then I guess I'll take it to the calf."
Calf. I was wondering what you were going to say. Yeah, I guess. Well, okay, let's go back to the sort of starting area. This opener about some kind of island. I don't know if it's a gun or drug deal or what, but there's some deal that's been betrayed because our main villain, who is a sort of 80s businessman lawyer type dude, he looks the part. He sort of acts like an arrogant git. And it sets up that he's going to take over this small island or beach crime setup thing, whatever it is. And then from that point on, we no longer care about that element of the story. The whole setup is just, I guess, to show that he's a nasty man, like, because it's not relevant to the main story. The main story is about, I guess, this businessman having a penchant for dressing up in a weird leather dominatrixy, not demon, is it a dominatrix if you're a bloke?
I don't think so, no. A dominator?
A dominator. He dresses up like executioner meets daredevil meets a cowboy. I don't know. How would you describe the kind of weird leather outfit the guy likes to wear?
I think you did a fairly good job there.
Sort of Zorro-style leather mask. Not, you know, but all over the head, no hat or anything. And then a sort of rubbishy leather waistcoat and trousers and stuff. And he has a whip because, you know, why not? And he likes to, with his buddy, you got to have, because the villains are buddies too. It's a villain buddy movie as well as a cop buddy movie. He likes to get his friend to, you know, approach various ladies of the night, get them to come to a rather grubby hotel that we spend a lot of time in. And then they do the old switcheroo. He goes, I'm just going to change. And he pops out of the room for good. And his friend, who's presumably been sitting bored in the bathroom in his leather gear, pops out and decides to not you know, use the ladies of the night as they're expecting, but to, in fact, beat them up, sometimes quite extremely, with his whip. So he likes to have fun hurting ladies, doesn't he, essentially?
That's an unusual way in which this film didn't work, in that they make their villain really... They made their villain really good in the sense that he did horrible things and you just felt really uncomfortable with what he was doing, which makes him a fantastic villain, but an uncomfortable watch.
Plus, he looks such a dork as well. He doesn't look like, oh my gosh, this guy's scary. He looks like a guy with a pathetic fetish. And it's just, come on, mate. Like, why they do the old switcheroo, and it's not really like it's meant to convince these ladies. It's like, it's just, I guess, so that this business guy doesn't get caught. Although, because it's his lackey who has to pick these ladies in the first place, that guy's in loads of trouble. I don't know what he's getting paid, but he seems very loyal, and he doesn't seem to mind that he's basically going to get arrested instead of this businessman who's doing the crimes. I mean, they're both in on it, so... It's a really weird situation because it's essentially a movie about some cops trying to stop a serial killer or a serial, I don't know, what's the terrible term they use? It's like he's a basher. He likes to bash ladies. it sounded so insincere and wrong when one of the other victims mentioned he's a basher. And it's just like, what is that a thing? Is that a nice way to put man who beats you up and whips you? So he's a bash, serial basher, and he does commit one murder at least. So he's definitely a horrible jerk. But it's just, why set him up as this weird, you know, kingpin criminal with business stuff going on some coastal island thing?
Yeah, at the start they say, right, go down to the country or the coast or the wherever it is he's going, sort all that out. Then we won't talk about it for an hour and 15 minutes. And then we will again.
Yeah, it basically bookends a story about, you know, these two cops doing pretty rubbish work finding out who's committing these attacks on ladies of the night. And it's just there at the end to go, ah, and then our man Shotgun Jones, he can turn up and kill loads of people rather than just kill the guy he's meant to, or, you know, do what police should do and find evidence and proof and arrest people and prosecute them. You know, I mean, they don't do the prosecuting, but do actual police work. No, let's not do that. Let's just kill loads of henchmen we haven't explained properly at the end. And then, actually, to skip to the end, after we have our vengeful showdown, he basically, Shotgun Jones, as he becomes known, turns up at a shack where these baddies are at, kills them all with his special souped-up vehicle. Abby, do you want to have a crack at describing what him and his other friend make?
Imagine a toy from the 1980s that is a car that is armoured, but it also has the top of a tank with the large cannon on it.
Yeah.
Scale that up to life-size.
Yeah, it is odd, isn't it? They sort of equip a sort of decent, you know, off-road vehicle with a massive cannon And also, just in case that's not enough, like a gun sort of turrety, like a machine gun on a turret at the top as well. It's kind of, actually, his friend is like a discount G.I. Joe. He's essentially Freddie Mercury meets Sergeant Slaughter, isn't he? He's just, he's not even established at the start of the film. And just at the end, he's like B.G. Shotgun Jones turns up and goes, ah, oh no, looks like we're going to have some trouble with this guy. He's going to, like, there's some kind of kerfuffle. And then he goes, ah, no, we're buddies. Ah, buddy. And they're like, oh, we're all friends, even though we didn't act like it initially. Like, and then this guy just helps him equip a vehicle with weapons, which is always cool. I like a car equipped with guns, but it is ridiculous.
You do have to love a weaponized vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, you just, it's so awesome. And this one's good. It blows the heck out of a cabin and some blokes. You know, there's plenty of explosions and diving, and it has a flamethrower. That's another bit I left off. It has a nice flamethrower that, you know, looks terrible in the edit, but, you know, it's still, people are on fire. Well done, stuntman. And what baffles me in this showdown at the end, which sort of relates only to the beginning, is after he kills all the guys, the main baddie, who he's done no real police work to find out where he'll be, other than presumably found out where his base is or whatever, he just turns up. He volunteers himself to be shot. You know, Shotgun Jones is there with his shotgun, ready to kill the baddie, and then the baddie just turns up for no reason with his own gun, and instead of shooting him, maybe while his back's turned, he decides to stand there, have a bit of dialogue with him, and tell him how, ha, even though you've just murdered everyone, you won't kill me because you're a policeman, or were a policeman. So you'll have to arrest me now. Ha ha ha, you'll have to arrest me. There's no way you'd just shoot me for killing your sister. You'd arrest me. And what did he do, Abby, B.G. Jones?
He shot him. Fairly unceremoniously as well. Yep. There was a nice bit of cinematography before that, actually.
Go on.
Where they had that guy who was hiding. And his face was in shadow except for the bit of light that was coming over in his eye when he was trying to talk Jones into not killing him.
Mm.
And they actually tried hard on that bit, and I was very mildly impressed.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. There were moments of directorial flair. There was lots of red lights used. Occasionally it was a bit, why is this bar red? But that seems to be, if the rookie taught us anything, it's for sometimes bars are just red lit. But yeah, it had moments, but fundamentally my problem is just, so you just witnessed him kill all these people, you know he's not a cop anymore, and you're just going to go, you have to arrest me, and then I'll get off the... I don't know, he presumes... He doesn't even have to turn up, he could have just ran away. He had no reason to show up. It's kind of lackluster attempt to, like, get the bad guy, because he doesn't have to hunt him down, exactly. The guy does all the work. It just bothered me that he just did. You're so stupid. You're such an idiot. But what do you expect from a man who likes to dress in leather and whip people for fun? Like, come on, idiot, obviously. But back to the other stuff, because there's a lot of garbage between this film that's all about basically two really lame cops wandering around not in uniform, with terrible hats and clothes, and just that we're blokes of a certain age in the 80s, so we can't dress cool kind of look. And they wander around talking to the odd prostitute or trying to do an investigation, but mainly breaking rules seems to be his thing. He doesn't play by the rules. I don't know how he stayed a cop for as long as he did, to be honest.
And he got away with a lot when he attacked... I'm going to have to call him Internal Affairs because I can't quite remember what his actual title was, but he was that sort of person.
Hmm.
When he's beat him up in a corridor, it's like, you've been suspended. Suspended. Suspended for that, was it? Not arrested. Not fired. No.
Well, the culmination of... because like you say, there's this Internal Affairs type guy, or just a cop who's out to get, correctly, Ian Jones, the worst cop in the world. The trouble is, instead of doing police work, investigating crimes, interviewing people properly, he seems to just mainly beat people up. I mean, one of the first victims of sorts, they go to an adult movie store or whatever, or like an adult shop, and this ratty looking dude behind the counter with like a little leather jacket of his own, and he's kind of Weasley. And they interview him, and basically he's their sort of man who might know some stuff. So, but they kind of threaten him, beat him up, and with the fact that they know he deals child pornography as a thing. This guy is known to distribute videos with that kind of material on, and they're just like, you don't want us to take you to jail for that. It's like, actually, no, now you bring that up. Yeah, take him to jail. What are you... You don't use that as leverage to get him to talk. That's a crime you should arrest him for, right?
No, yes, definitely.
That's... I mean, knowing who hits people or someone who has connections to that kind of stuff, I mean, come on, like... priorities. But they sort of rough this guy up to some extent and threaten him so they can find out who's been picking up ladies of the night and taking them to this hotel and stuff. And I feel sorry for that guy as well, because he ends up being killed as a sort of dramatic victim of drama. I don't know. And they just what's the point I was trying to make? It's a terrible film, and there's terrible police work, and he mainly flies off the handle. That's what I was saying, doesn't he?
He does, but in this weird sort of... I don't know how often he actually gets angry. Because when he's doing anything, you get this sense of... He's not angry at people. He's disappointed in people. That sort of passive-aggressive thing.
But it still leads to him... instead of just arresting someone, handcuffing them and taking them in, beating them up severely or pulling a gun on them for no reason. Like, one of the weirdest parts, like, there's lots of moments where he is too extreme. And this Internal Affairs guy is completely justified. Because there's a scene where they're at the bar. They've come up short. The Shotgun Jones and Billings are sitting there in a bar, all red lit and cool, having a bit of ladsy banter. And some dudes with shotguns, because, the film Shotgun, it's going to have more than one shotgun in it, try and rob the bar, because, robbing bars is money-making genius.
Nobody said they were clever.
No one said criminals are clever, that's right.
That's something I said throughout this movie as well. Nobody said he was a good cop. Nobody said he was clever. Nobody said he made sense.
No one is clever, that's right. So, yeah, these obviously our main cop guys are there in the bar and it's about to be robbed. And, of course, they have to intervene. They're cops. You picked the wrong day. But what I loved about the scene is instead of, tension building and doing some kind of, engaging drama, the cops look at each other and go, okay. And then they go, we're cops. And then they shoot about a billion rounds into these two guys just by saying, we're cops, and it's fine, we could murder you utterly now.
I think the Eternal Affairs guy said they put in 36 rounds, which means that's 18 each.
They didn't reload.
That's what I was about to say. I'll be honest, I don't know how many bullets a gun would hold, but 18 does sound like a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I'd expect about 6 or 12 or something at best. But, yeah, they fire quite a lot of rounds at these men who they could have just maybe attempted to arrest. Maybe, I don't know what the police procedure is, but I'm pretty sure it's not unload your gun entirely, plus some bullets that couldn't possibly be in them into the chests of the perps upon saying, police, but not even giving them a chance to, surrender or anything. It was terrible. But they basically, like you say, they don't, I think suspended is the worst that comes of that. I think maybe nothing comes of that because they were criminals. But the Eternal Affairs guy, who does eventually get Shotgun Jones fired, has to set up an awkward sting operation that makes no sense. Because we can't just investigate this crime where prostitutes are being beaten up. Let's have a pointless sting that has nothing to do with it, where I think they're pretending to be homeless people, like in an alleyway or something. Shotgun Jones is, on the floor, covered in, bin bags or whatever.
Yeah, and you don't know why at first. They just go to the scene and you just, why are you on the ground in a bag?
Yeah.
What is this about?
And then, presumably, some dudes off the street who are just paid to wear bandanas and jackets come in and start doing a drug deal with a regular-looking bloke. And then they bust the drug deal or whatever's going on. And this is when Jones, for some reason, flies off the handle, starts beating up the guy, and I think for some reason the guy mentions that his sister, that Jones's sister has been killed, and this makes Jones insanely mad. It's kind of fair, but he's like, yeah, put my gun in your mouth. And it's like, no, don't you arrest him. Don't put your gun in his mouth. And like, it just escalates beyond belief where he's incredible police brutality, you know? And this turns out to be an elaborate sting set up by Eternal Affairs guy. Like, that's actually a cop. And then they take him to... They get as far as the station before he says he's a cop. And they're trying to arrest him for doing a drug deal. And it's just like, no, he's a cop. This is what baffled me. The arrest charge was assaulting a police officer. I don't think that's the right charge. I think
no, that's not the right charge, definitely.
He didn't know he was a police officer, for one. And two, isn't it, like, what's the term for when you're overzealous with arresting a perpetrator?
Police brutality,
yes, exactly. Surely that's the charge, is he was too rough with a potential criminal, you know. But luckily, he's only fired, not arrested and sent to jail, because that would kind of slow the movie down, or take it in another direction. But for some reason, I guess his partner was there to, like, Billings basically isn't as brutal and tells him not to... Actually, he tells him to blow his brains out, and he takes a long time telling him to shoot the guy before mentioning that, yeah, you shoot him, yeah, shoot him, kill him dead, and then I'll arrest you, Ian. I'll arrest you. Although if you had shot him when I told him to, I'd be very guilty of the crime as well. But for some reason, one cop gets fired, the other cop gets promoted to, what is he, like he's quite high up in the cop stuff. I don't know.
He makes detective sergeant, which is the next one up, but it is quite a step, I think.
Yeah, just kind of out of nowhere. He doesn't solve any crimes or have any reason to be promoted other than presumably pre the movie he did some stuff. So Billings is promoted, which is handy because he basically needs to help bail his friend out all the time. And then Jones is fired correctly. And the thing I loved, this insider, the guy who's out to get Jones for being a terrible police officer and is correct in doing that, when he confronts him and says it was all a setup, basically the last nail in the coffin for Jones was he proceeds to have a rather terrible scene where he beats up this guy and he kind of awkwardly throws him into like the wall. But then it's really rubbish and it's really weak fighting. But then he steals a truncheon and starts beating this cop to death almost. Like he's really like wailing on the guy. And we cut away on him like truncheoning the camera. And it's just like, you are going to jail. You don't get arrested for, like, you might have been suspended for police brutality or something that in a sting that was set up to prove it. But you batter the guy to within an inch of his life with a truncheon.
You are not a rebel. You're not a renegade. You're a psycho.
And now an inmate. It should have continued in prison from that point. But apparently it's reason enough for him to become a bounty hunter. He's fired, so the next logical step is to become Daug, the bounty hunter.
And he enjoys it as well. I don't know why everyone's saying, oh, you're doing this. He seems to be doing it really well. And he's got a fairly good life going on.
10% of whatever the money is for what bringing in whoever. And there's, you know, like a decent montage. Well, there's a montage of him bringing in various people. He basically turns up with his shotgun places and then holds up his handcuffs like, I got you. I'll handcuff you. Here you go. You know, some drama, but it's basically a montage to establish he's a successful and seemingly happy bounty hunter, as you say.
I thought it was going to take an interesting turn where it's more about him being a bounty hunter than anything else. But then, no, at the end, you get to be a cop again. Yay!
Somehow, despite essentially becoming a mass murderer himself. Like, he kills more people than the bad guy does.
Definitely.
Well, you know, that guy might have more crimes to his back catalogue, but he murders people with a gun on a car. Like, I don't know. He kills a whole room full of people. And yeah. So it's a bit odd in the sense that he becomes this bounty hunter and he's he's still kind of out for vengeance and trying to seek out essentially the two guys who are involved in these attacks on various women, because lots of women have been abducted. Just taken to a hotel room, beaten, and it's kind of the MO is sort of whipping, because at some point they interview a lady who's been whipped, and she looks like a cartoon tiger has like scratched claws on her front and back, and you know, there's lots of cheap excuses for ladies to have their boobies out, and this is one of the ones where, oh, she's got really cartoonish scars. Ooh. But that seems to be the MO, and they know what the guy looks like who's been picking up the ladies, but they don't know who is the real, you know, criminal. Yeah, perpetrator, yeah. And it's mainly them seeking down the guy's lackey, chasing him lots of places, actually bringing him in and arresting him sometimes, but then he gets off because, you know, his boss is a lawyer and
they've only got circumstantial evidence.
Seemingly. So he keeps getting away, and it's you know, I guess a bugbear of theirs to get this guy, if that's the right term. And it just sort of escalates into them kind of, you know, they chase him down, he ends up killing people and managing to get away. There's some dramatic chase scenes, albeit by, like, Shotgun Jones looks incredibly silly whenever he runs. This is so gangly, isn't he?
He is. That was one of the things about this. I like that you're sort of tall and rangy, but then at the same time, you also look like a tree when you run.
He does. He's very odd. He's just got too long a stride or something. He just looks mental. Unless he's dressed weirdly in like every scene. And in between all this thrilling drama and you know, bounty hunting and things, they also have the buddy cop element. And what's kind of weird is they have the drama of actually his sister, the masked idiot basically ends up killing the guy's sister, who's also a prostitute, and he has some stirring stuff, I think he says, and he didn't like what she did, but he loved her and stuff, and dealing with the grief of that. So Jones goes over to Billings's house, you know, to have a bit of a meal and not feel so sad and lonely, I guess. And then, like you said, Abby, Billings's wife seems to love Ian a lot more than her own husband.
Well, we were going to have meatloaf, but now we're going to have steak.
Because Ian's here, who I love. Come on, Ian, give us a big hug. Oh, Ian, I love you, mate. You're brilliant. We can have steak, and you can cook it, mate. You get your steaks out and barbecue. Gah. Oh, hi, Ian. I love you when you're here. Ian's great. He's so openly loves him. He's not like you with your stupid mustache. He's got a beard, and it's ginger. I love you, Ian. But you know, his friend doesn't seem to mind that his wife is clearly in love with Jones. But what's great is, cut to them. Jones insists that he needs to have some beer. Beer's a good idea. Beers. Yeah, beers, please. I have a beer out of the fridge, please. Beer. Beer. And then cut to the beers, several beers on the floor later. Billings and Jones are sitting there, doing some of the worst laughing I've ever heard. They have really cartoony, silly, fake laughter. And they start having drunken chat about having... They basically go, "Ah, I enjoyed those steaks you cooked. Yeah, I cooked those steaks, didn't I? Yeah, I liked barbecued steaks. They were tasty." They just have this happy, pretend drunken chat. Forgetting entirely that his sister's just been murdered. It's a tremendous scene. Do you remember, Ab?
I do remember. It's so... Just... I know what you're trying to do here.
But on no what level happened? Have you succeeded. It's when the acting particularly goes out the window. There's times where you almost think they have conviction behind their lines. But that scene was just great. Well, there's just, generally speaking, there's just these funny moments where they're like palling up in the office together, and there's like, "Oh, I know you've been like fired from your job, but you can still come in and I'll tell other cops where to go if they question me what I'm doing and why you're in the police off station again." yeah, I'm in charge now. Like, they just like, oh, they just kiss already. That's what I think. There's so many times, they're just such good friends. It's odd it didn't go all Brokeback Mountain, really.
They didn't have the time.
It might have been a better story if it had been less about vengeance and shotguns and more about some buddy cops who found out that they actually loved each other beyond having a barbecue and getting drunk.
Sweet, actually.
It would have been interesting with the wife who was clearly interested in Jones as well, so there could have been a really dramatic rom-com in there, you know. But we got what we got. We got, you know, shotgun blasts. More, like, I think one of the worst shotgun attacks was, as part of the bounty hunter montage, there's, like, a Native American mechanic who's getting arrested, and he makes a run for it after hitting Ian in the face with, I think it was a wrench or something. And it's
for
like,
some reason, that even though I knew what happened, I could have sworn you were going to say pie.
No, it's not a pie. It was hit him with the wrench, and it's the sound effect of like a really weak punch, even though he biffs him with a wrench. It's just poof, you know, like, and then he runs off. But then the shot he makes is the rather severe shotgun to the bottom. He shoots him up the bum. Brutal.
Yeah, that was nasty. And they really drew reference to it being nasty as well. It was like, why? And how? And why some more?
I mean, arresting people for bounties does not involve shotgunning them in such a dramatic and horrible manner. But all this garbage to a kind of conclusion, it does just essentially lead to they get one guy, and then, you know, Shotgun Jones randomly decides to team up with another friend who had nothing to do with the story, and basically has a showdown with this ridiculous battle off-road vehicle. And like I say, it's just kind of odd how it comes back to this story they'd set up about a kind of big cartel or something. And you just don't know why all these people have to die. They didn't do any of this stuff. They're just, you know, gun runners or drug dealers or something. They're not leather fetish bashers or whatever. I mean, what did you think? Were there other bits? It seems like there was more that happened in it, but it made so little sense. It was hard to string it all together as one sensible plot.
Well, that's the thing. It's not so much, not that much stuff happened. They just did a bunch of stuff.
And for the most part, they just sort of wander around, they turn up to crime scenes. They don't so much look at the crime scene as sort of stand in a room and then go away again. They have a bit of a argy-bargy thing going on with the guy who runs the hotel, like the guy who's always on the desk in his fruity-looking shirts. They chat to him, and he's not very helpful, but he keeps giving the same room to people as well. Like, you know, you'd think he wouldn't want people in the hotel being beaten up all the time, so maybe he should have reported them to the police. Whatever. It's a dodgy hotel. It's a dodgy guy. But you know, they don't really do that much when they're not. They're either buddies or there's lots of shotgunning going on, which is good because that's the title. It ticks a box. There are shotguns throughout.
That's true. Once the shotguns do make an appearance, they're there for good.
It's odd, actually. They don't actually, like, when they're cops, both of them, they use handguns that aren't shotguns, so it becomes, as a bounty hunter, it becomes known as Shotgun Jones. So, but it left me baffled and confused. And it is just that kind of low-rent bad, isn't it? Like, I kind of expected it to be, but I kind of... The main problem was it doesn't hang together as a sensible story.
I think that's the thing. If it had been as terrible as we had expected it to be, we might have enjoyed it more.
Yeah, because there's dodgy acting in it. And they don't play very, like, realistic characters in any way. But it's very, you know, it takes a lot of, you know, tropes. It does a lot of the stuff you'd expect. It does a lot of, you know, it's kind of so close to being a kind of textbook cheap action movie about cops. But it just, they didn't have the ability to write a plot that made enough sense. It very much falls into the No Retreat, No Surrender wheelhouse of stuff. It's like a little bit poor, a little bit badly acted, kind of engagingly charming and baffling, but you know, it just doesn't hold together as a story in any sort of understandable way.
I think we've covered this, except we need a metaphor.
Yeah, what do you load into your shotgun, both barrels, to fire? Is it buckshot? Is it a double barrel of incredible stopping power? I don't think so.
I was thinking a slightly different thing.
Go on.
Actually, I was thinking that this movie is a blunderbuss, where it does everything a shotgun does, because it was one of the earliest ones, but it's a blunderbuss, so it doesn't quite work anymore in the now.
It doesn't. It feels very dated. Not as dated as a blunderbuss, but a kind of blunderbuss stuffed full of, like, you haven't got any shots left or grape, you know. You need a bit of grape shot, but you've got, like, cutlery, knives and forks. Jam a bit of any old sharp object in and hope the splatter gets someone. It was very much thrown together. So maybe I kind of get where you're coming from.
Yeah. But your metaphor.
Oh, I don't know. I think it has to be like a shotgun that has been loaded incorrectly with the stuff. Just like, I don't know, like instead of ammunition has gone in, they've ad-libbed some stuff. They got a bit of like turkey paste and and some marbles. let's just hope this makes sense and will be cool. Like maybe like put a firecracker in your shotgun. That's bound to be good. An explosion in a gun. That'll be amazing, surely. No, it won't make any sense and it won't be what you want. It's kind of just a shotgun rammed full of the wrong stuff. And when it fires, it goes all wrong. And it's kind of cool because, you know, the guy, the idiot who stuffed the shotgun full of weird stuff gets it exploding in his face and making a big mess. But it wasn't, you know, intentionally awesome. It kind of, its backfiring was the thing that was good, I guess. There's some, you know, it had some good stunts, like the helicopter thing was all right, and having the weaponized car, and, you know, I get it. There's worse action movies, but there's a lot of better ones. So, yeah, you know, we watched Shotgun, we enjoyed it. I think, you know, it had that baffle factor going a lot of the time. And there's some great lines in there, but they're extra good because of how dodgily they're delivered. Like, just some of the stuff that Shotgun says and Billing says together, they just, what are you, every line he says that's meant to be like him being a proper cop comes out like a 12-year-old trying to make up a script off the top of his head. The conviction of someone who has never seen an action movie. Actually, from people who've seen really terrible action movies and thinks that's how it should be done. It's baffling and definitely stupid enough to be fun. It wasn't a dull fail entirely, because when it's not sort of good, it is kind of funny. And the music, wow, cheesy 80s stuff everywhere. I mean, not really poppy, but just sort of lame action movie 80s music.
It's a particular genre of its own that no one ever wanted to be in.
The trouble is, it played by the rules properly. It played by the action movie rules. It did everything you'd expect of an action movie, just did them, you know, badly. It dispensed 12-gauge awfulness. So there, we've chatted about Shotgun. Good job, B. So that's it for this podcast. Time to say goodbye.
Bye.
That was me shooting my gun. Bye.